True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffin Dapper. We're going to get right in and dig deep on the Lindsey Clancy jury deliberations. I tell you what, I think I posted this funny video of a real monkey pet that was just sitting there scrolling and watching his little cell phone. And I think that was many of us just glued today as we could, depending on our schedules. I just had a tennis tournament this morning, so is a teeny bit behind on catching up with everything earlier today. But at the end of the day, at about 3:30, the jury left. Now, I want to play you a lot of videos. We have a lot to discuss on what is going on with this verdict. Let's start with what people are saying on the streets, because I think it's important.
Yes.
We feel she's very sleep deprived. Her job is a...
Do you stand with her, yes or no?
I don't think she did it.
Yes.
We feel she's very sleep deprived. Her job as a labor and delivery nurse working night shifts and three children is
a lot.
A lot.
Do you have children?
Yes.
Would you ever hurt them?
Yes and no. As a mom or as a dad, I think that you are not perfect.
So what are the consequences she should face for this?
Obviously, she's already in a wheelchair.
He should go to jail for negligence. He needs to take care of his kids, and that was his responsibility.
Is this any of your girlfriends?
Mine.
This is your girlfriend?
Yeah.
I think you have to do some reflection on that.
I just have seen a little bit on TikTok of the case.
I'm watching it on TikTok or like the live streams. Or like...
Where are you getting your news that the defense might not be getting theirs?
What did you say?
TikTok.
So, isn't it interesting, everybody, as we've been watching, that the majority of people online are not getting their information from watching the jury trial. And I understand it. It's difficult to watch the whole thing. I try to get caught up at night. I'm like going to bed with the earphones in my head during this trial. And it's a lot. It's a lot to watch every second of this trial. But how anyone can have an opinion if you have not watched the trial, I don't know. I don't know how that happens. That I understand that you can look at the information, I guess, that you see buzzing across. But I think it is critical that when we do have these public trials, hopefully all of us as true crimers are watching as much as we possibly can to really take in what the evidence was. But to hear all these people on social media, how about the lady that she said, would you ever hurt your children? Well, you know, if you're the mom or the dad, we're not perfect. So, yeah, no. No, there's nothing normal about wanting to harm your children. Zero, zero normal. If I have offended anyone, I am very sorry, but there is nothing normal about a mother wanting to kill her children. Nothing normal about that. Wanting to harm, wanting to hurt. That is somebody in need of serious mental intervention. That's where you're not thinking correctly, and you need to get to a doctor. It certainly, though, does not excuse the homicide of three little kids. This is what I've also found. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing it, but I find it very interesting that everybody who supports her, they do not want you to post pictures of the kids. I'm serious. Like, I put up pictures of the kids. Take those kids down. They want people to not understand, that these lives were lost. Everybody wants you to just think about her with her hair curled, all in control, her slight brush on her cheeks, blush on her cheeks. Looking good. It's really something. Yeah, for those posting about Ann Burgess, I have the utmost respect for her. She worked with Greg McCrary. Greg McCrary, as I've talked about, one of the original two FBI profilers, he and John Douglas, he's a mentor of mine. We work at the same place, although he's pretty much retired now, given away most of his cases. But essentially, they work together. And Dr. Burgess, I'm in really good company. if you look at the individuals who agree that there is no way she should not be held criminally responsible, and that's what we're saying. We're not saying she doesn't have issues. We're not saying that at all. We are saying she knew right from wrong. She planned it. She sent her husband away. And then she murdered one by one each child. I also think this is very interesting, right? If you look at this, look at these baby books. For those of you who don't know, this should have never been allowed by this judge. Ever in a million years, the baby books of these kids and drawings and things like that up for the jury to see, never, ever should have been allowed. It is mind-boggling to me, and hopefully you saw that first video I showed, that people are normalizing wanting to kill your children. Not only normalizing it, is same, right? They like to post same, we feel the same as her. So we are not only normalizing that, we are actually putting this on an accolade level. Whenever you have troops, and I'll call them troops, organized, going to this courthouse, lining up in support for somebody who murdered their children, it's mind-boggling to me. It just really is. I want to make sure to put this picture up about what I'm talking about. Lots of videos and lots of photos today. Take a look at this one. I know many of you have seen these. This is a heart image. Oh, shoot. Did you see this come up? It says I have too many downloaded in my library. The bottom line is these ladies are something. I'm going to play a video and we'll talk about it on the other side. I think it's really important to understand the vibe that we are seeing regarding this case. Take this down. I promise you all, when we are at 100,000 subscribers, I'm going to get a producer, an admin person, and they're going to come on and handle all of these videos. But for right now, you got me.
Thank you. I wish someone would help my daughter.
I'm going to play it louder.
I came from Houston to watch you. Thank you. I wish someone would help my daughter.
Where should we go eat a steak?
We want to take you out for a steak dinner, Mr. Reddy.
My daughter Hannah, so that you threw
out. I had my mental health weaponized against me in family court. I had an issue whenever my son was postpartum, or whenever I was postpartum, my second son was 8 months old.
You're the voice.
So I know what Lindsay went through. I know what she went through. I feel it. I've watched you every day, and I've just been like, I wish I had a man like that representing me.
Deep breath. Hard to watch, in my opinion. There are so many women. I've talked about one of my very closest friends. I actually did 2 episodes from her front porch. Still to this day, met her when I was 18. She's still one of my very closest friends. Severe postpartum depression, anxiety with her first child, who was born, by the way, without a colon. The son had a colostomy bag, was in writhing pain, and cried constantly. And you know what? She knew she had issues. She knew this was way beyond the baby blues, as they used to call it back in the day, of a mother that was sad and depressed, kind of having to deal with lack of sleep, having to deal with the lack of selfishness once you have a child. Listen, you know, once you have a child, it's not about you anymore. It's about them. And if you don't go into it with the right attitude that it's about them, it's going to be a struggle. Now, I am not trying to minimize in any way what people with postpartum depression go through, because it is very serious. Postpartum is serious. I've seen it for myself. Also had a niece who struggled with it. And you know what? They needed help. They got help and made sure that those kids were safe, that the kids were safe. That didn't happen here. And I've said from the beginning, Patrick, you get a pass because the evidence doesn't at all prove you killed them in any way, shape, or form. But you don't get a pass at ignoring your mom in the kitchen. I'm sorry, you and your mother-in-law in the kitchen and Lindsay Clancy, according to testimony, telling you both that she wanted to harm these kids. I mean, isn't it sad? I'm just going to put this one up. Isn't it sad that you have to get kudos for not wanting to kill? And don't get me wrong. I really like your post, what you're saying here. That's why I'm throwing it up here. When it becomes normal to want to kill your children, to want to harm your children, when that becomes a state of normalcy and, oh, we should all feel this way. Don't have children. The way we have taken, I can't even tell you how many steps backwards in our fight for equality and for being taken seriously with everything that I'm hearing and we are seeing here. We really are. I mean, at what point does this possibly become some sort of question on an application for a job? Do you have issues with hormones? Are you taking hormone? Have you ever had postpartum? When is all this going to really, are we as women, all of us, going to start seeing the ramifications of this? And how about women who, because they're frustrated, because they're angry, because they don't have their lives anymore, because you don't. You know, there was one of the, does anybody watch American Idol? I hope you do. If you do, please let me know in chat. If you watch American Idol this year, the lady who won it all, she had problems with postpartum, with feeling down, with feeling she wasn't worth anything. She wrote this song called String Cheese because it was at the point that she realized, you know, she's crying and like her kids love string cheese. She's handing them string cheese. And she had completely sort of minimized her role as a mom and how important it is. In my opinion, the number one job in this world is to raise children. Well, in other words, it's the hardest job. It's the most demanding job. It's a 24/7 job. But I tell you what, as a mom of three, it is the most rewarding job. The most rewarding job anyone could ever have. It's amazing. And I've always said, once you have three, you're no longer in man-to-man defense. You are full on in zone defense, you and your husband. It's 3-on-2 at that point, and you miss a lot of stuff, and you can't be there every second for each of them. But you learn to do things as a family all together. You get everybody on the same page together. My family, all three of my kids were just home. They're one's in college, one's in law school actually right now. And one's in high school, and the other one is a flight instructor. And we were all together with, by the way, their significant others. And I say that they're boyfriends and girlfriends, no engagement rings or anything like that. In any event, we were all together. And you know what we do? We play volleyball. We play basketball. We play cards all night. We go to dinner. We supported my son at his football game. Why am I even bringing this up? It starts when they're young. I just broke down and I'm not giving it away. I'm keeping it for the grandkids that I may or may not ever have, which I pray I have them. The knee hockey. When they were little, we'd play knee hockey. We were all on our hands and knees getting rug burns with these little sticks. Daddy, mommy, everybody. T-ball, we're all out there. Like, I'm an outfielder. I'm terrible at baseball and softball. One time I told my son, he was like 10. I'm like, don't worry. You know, they could, because I'm a college athlete. Oh, yeah, I can catch this, no problem. Yeah, it hit me right, like, past the glove, into the netting, right in the nose, right in the mouth. I'm like, whoa. But you do it all together. This was a complete breakdown of family, in my opinion, from what we have seen and from all the evidence we have before us. Patrick was not there to understand his wife spiraling. It's true. I give you that. It's not that I don't think she was sick. There's a big difference between, look at all the people who kill their kids, everyone. Oh my gosh, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds a year. I think we're at almost 500 this year. This is not anything abnormal. What is abnormal is the fact that Lindsay Clancy, they had a lot of money. They had nannies. They had, when I say nannies, meaning nannies on the ready. They had one, she testified. They had means, they had resources. They had extended family. She had everything you could possibly need. Only she wasn't happy. And she looked. And she looked for medication. And she filled a lot of medication. And she went to a lot of different doctors. And this is critical. She lied to every one of them. She didn't tell. This is critical. She did not tell one of them that she heard voices. Did everybody hear me? In all the weeks and months that she sought medical attention for her postpartum, for her depression, for feeling she was inadequately a mother, and having resentment, by the way, just read the journals, toward Cora and Dawson, blaming them. It's because of them that I can't have be the mom that I want to be toward Callan. You can see it building up. How she talked about Dawson, she did not like Dawson. Just read the comments. Sorry, tennis match this morning, so now I'm rehydrating after I hydrated all last night on the show. So sorry. She didn't like this anymore. She wasn't in control anymore. It was 3-on-1 at times, 3-on-2 at best. And she lost control. And this was a control freak of a mom. That's what I think. I really do. She wanted to be controlled. She wanted to be perceived as the mother that she wanted to be. She had always been successful. She was successful in college. But remember when she stumbled, do you remember what happened when she stumbled? Meaning, she was in nursing school, and purportedly it's put out there that she was afraid of public speaking. I don't know how much public speaking you have to do in nursing school compared to high school or college, or if you're a speech or a communications major, but whatever. She was stumbling in nursing school. What was the first thing she did, everyone? She got drugs. See, when you have money, you go to doctors and you tell them you're depressed, you're anxious, you have these mental things you're going through, and what do? They write you a prescription to help you feel better. Remember, never diagnosed, by the way. with bipolar disorder, never diagnosed with schizophrenia, like some of these other mothers, specifically Andrea Yates. Everybody wants to compare her to Andrea Yates. This is an impossible comparison to compare her to Andrea Yates. Andrea Yates was diagnosed schizophrenic, diagnosed with so many different mental health severe defects. Severe. Ever since she was a teen, she wanted to kill herself. She was bulimic. She had and has grave, serious mental issues. Not Lindsay. Never diagnosed with any of it. None of it. I know you all know the evidence. I could put up some, you know, snippets of the evidence. Most of us know the evidence. She reached out. She ordered food. She sent her husband on 2 errands. She was communicating this whole time. It doesn't matter. For me, I'm going to say this. I received a really, to me, if I can learn anything, and I learned probably 5 things a day. I don't know. I learn so much every day. I put the tools in my tool belt. I don't keep them all. But man, when I get a nugget, we all call them nuggets. I call them nuggets. Nuggets are great. And when I heard these different forensic psychologists, or I mean psychiatrists testify, I got some nuggets. It was kind of interesting from a general broad base. No one knew her. No one talked to her at the time. The closest was 4 months after the crimes. And by the way, she was still highly medicated, and she was medicated, guess what, on every single medicine that they talked about her being on and in her system when she was the day of the murders, the day she murdered her kids. Except for they added Wellbutrin, another, you know, intense drug. So now, you know, everybody's like, oh, the medical, they were terrible. They put her on a cocktail. She's on a cocktail now, everyone. Did you listen to the list of drugs she's on right now? Well, I shouldn't say right now. When the different psychiatrists interviewed her, she's on a cocktail. The most important facts to me are these. 1, she never told one of the 4 service providers in months of being treated that she ever heard a voice. Never. That all came up later when she's trying to get millions out of those who treated her. That's 1. 2, she never told a medical professional or anyone else in the healthcare industry, the 4 that she went to, she did not tell them she wanted to harm her children. You guys, what do I take away from those 2 most important facts? That's the most important fact. Forget, you know, the psychiatrist, yeah, it's interesting to listen to them. They don't know her. And they sure as heck didn't know her during the time she did this murder. They didn't get to evaluate her. They didn't get to do any of that. They get to look at sort of historically, they get to read some notes and papers. They get to look at her journal. They did not get to talk to her. And for anybody who thinks, well, they didn't need to talk to her, they could just look back at her journal. No. The first thing they did was want to talk to her when they got hired and when they got court approval and so forth. 4 months, even years later, they wanted to talk to her. And you know who they didn't talk to, especially her forensic psychiatrist, Resnick? He didn't talk to the husband. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And we also need to keep in mind why. why is the husband quasi behind her? Now, remember, he's divorced. He left her. He's not with her. He's not by her side. Don't let all that fool you. Oh, when they say, oh, the husband's standing, the husband. No, no, no. It's about money. This is about money. They are seeking millions from the providers, millions from those institutions, millions and millions and millions. Patrick, the ex, has already collected, last I saw, $1.7 million. Somebody's probably going to come on and say, oh, it's up to $3 million, Jen. And I believe it. And I came down hard. And you know what? Some people said, well, you need to talk about the playground. He did a playground. Oh, you need to talk about, he's got a foundation. No, I really thought about it. At first, I was like, well, yeah, that was nice. No, because he's seeking millions from the others. It became about money so quickly. They had money. They have money. He has a job. And instead, he's begging from others for millions, literally millions. It's really hard, really hard to watch. Then I know it's a TikToker. I think it was that started up the new GoFundMe. Do you think that the parents don't know about the GoFundMe? They wrote exactly what they wanted it for. They said to rebuild after everything we've been through, the financial hardships, blah, blah, blah. I think they're up to well over a million. So I know that there are many people that don't agree with me, right? There's many people who don't agree with me. In other words, they want to give millions. I see that, and people aren't going to like this, Spicy Jen today, whatever you want to say. I do not want millions revolving around the murder of my children by my wife on my watch. It's mind-boggling to me. This guy, in my opinion, should go crawl in a hole and feel sick for not taking the proper actions to safeguard his children after his wife, who he saw the medications, who he heard her cries, who he knew was spiraling, collect millions. Does that make him feel better? The setting up a jungle gym, whatever that costs, probably no more than a few hundred thousand at the most. Does setting up that and starting a foundation for them, what are we talking about here? And so close after the death. Okay, I tell you what, I guess I'm judgmental, and I'm fine if this is, I'm judgmental at a mom who put three different exercise bands, brought the children down, and strangled the life out of them, which would take, by the way, 3 to 5 minutes each. This was premeditated. There is no doubt if you look at the facts of what she did. Look at that little baby, 8-month-old. Now, I do not like, you know, True Crime OG, I'll say this, and I always invite, this is one platform you will always be able to come onto and have intelligent conversation. You'll be able to say your point of view, you know, as long as everybody is tasteful and decent. I always hate all the name calling. But normally we don't ever see that in our chat, or very seldom. I just so disagree with you about this. This was not psychosis. Not at all. I'll tell you, psychosis. Did anybody see Paris Hilton's video? I'm going to watch chat. A raise a hand for Paris Hilton's video. If you don't know who that is, this is a guy that always covered celebrities and movie stars and, you know, singers and blah, blah, blah. And basically he'd wait for them to mess up and then he would make fun of them. Oh yeah, sure, she's clean from using drugs. Look at her stumbling down the aisle. I'm totally just ad-libbing here, but that's what he would do. Oh gosh, can you believe her? Look at that. I mean, basically built millions and millions of followers, huge following on all the social media platforms, essentially looking for celebrities to mess up. What did I say? Yeah, Paris Hilton. Looking for people to mess up and then roasting them, like not having any sense of care or concern or anything about their addictions or whatever, just going at them. And that's how he built this huge platform, right? Then more recently, he had some sort of religious awakening, I guess you might call it. But at the same time, if you watch him, you can see he's in a deep dive drug psychosis issues, huge problems. And essentially what happens is on video, like he's doing a live just like I'm doing, and he starts cutting himself severely, everyone, not just a little bit, everywhere, all over his body. He actually had broken bones because he would fall and stumble and broke more than one bone. And then he started pleasuring himself with the knife. It's just disgusting. That, my friends, was the kind of psychosis I have seen, drug-induced psychosis. And what I find very interesting is everybody just wants to say, oh, you know, psychosis is, and I listen to the doctors. Yes, I understand there can be more controlled psychosis, so they say. You guys, you don't wake up in the morning, take Cora to the doctor. Look at that. Look at that face. I almost put up pictures of my daughter at three so everybody could remember what a little three-year-old is like. That is a three-year-old right there. He struggled the hardest, everyone, according to the evidence. Bruises. I mean, she worked at getting that band around him and succeeding at her mission. Callan went last. How in the world do you do that to an eight-month-old? This case bothered me so bad when I was at church and I shared this. See, I was in the, we always sit kind of on the side, which is really just submitting yourself to being in the kids section, right? You don't want to have the kids right in front of the priest. It's a huge parish, but on the sides are like a lot of pews too. And all the kids end up being a lot on the sides. I see the same families every Sunday. And man, you guys, for those of you who have not seen an eight-month-old recently, please take a look. It will remind you of what no one wants to talk about, especially the pink shirts. Where are my pink shirts? Oh, I didn't get that picture up. I got to put this picture up of him too. Pink shirts don't want you to see this, everyone, by the way. They'll pull you right off. They'll say, take that down. How dare you put up their kids' pictures? Well, you know what? That's what this case is all about. That is what this case is all about. It's been twisted and turned and made to have seen or made to have seem as if it is all about the poor mom. Listen, I am empathetic to anyone who struggles with any mental situation. I've shared two situations with a dear friend and a family member. And the number one thing was always, listen, girl, if you feel like hurting them, we got this. You leave for the night, leave for the week, get what you need to do. And that is what happened. You know, that is what happened is they knew, they well understood that they weren't safe anymore to be around their children. And I think she knew, her husband knew, and that day, again, to take Cora to the doctor, to do the snowman, I think she was in such a need of, it was over, and she knew it, and she was resigned, and it felt good. We're going to have a good day. Going to help Cora with her tummy. How many of you have had a child who had stomach issues? It's so sad when they have them. My oldest son had stomach issues. He was never much of a crier, though. He's a tough little cookie. But he had stomach issues. I'll never forget. I took him to the ER. He literally couldn't go to the bathroom. He was probably two, I don't know, probably around there. I took him to the ER, so worried about him, not because he was even crying or screaming, but because he couldn't get him to go to the bathroom and he would just push and push. They brought me back into the room. I think actually they did a sauna. And this is kind of gross, but basically his entire body, his colon, his big intestine, his little intestine, which by the way, the little intestine, or I'm sorry, it's really called a large intestine and a small intestine. The small intestine is actually way longer than the big intestine. It's kind of a oxymoron there. But anyway, it was clear up to his stomach. You know, it was horrible. And I said, wow. And I'll never forget having to do, he was so little, probably three, having to do these, I'm so sorry to get gross, sorry, but to have to do these enemas. What I am talking about, though, what I'm talking about with you all here is we all know childcare is difficult. It's rough. And thank goodness, you know, we always had means too. Most people here have means. Most people here are not living paycheck to paycheck and have every card, you know, maxed out and just barely are eking out a living and wondering where their next meal is coming from. These people were well off. These are like five percenters. These are people who live in wealth with nannies, who have great jobs, and who live in a beautiful, beautiful home. They had everything to be treated for this. Look at these little ones. Oh my gosh. There is nothing that, in my opinion, should be aggrandized out of putting exercise bands around these kids and strangling the life out of them ever. Ever. It's Patrick's fault, in part, in my opinion. I know people say, poor Patrick, oh my gosh, he's lost his three kids. Yes, he's lost his three kids, but he had a chance to save them. I don't have any pity for Patrick, by the way. And I really don't have a lot of pity for mom after she said, I want to hurt my children. We had a conversation about this when everybody was in town. And, you know, I have no grandchildren and nobody's even married that are my children. So I don't expect anytime soon. But you can bet everything you own that if my daughter or my daughter-in-law ever tells me she wants to hurt my grandkids, babies, I will do everything in my power to get them away from her temporarily until she can get help. I'll also do everything I can to get her help. It's not that I am being cold toward this murder, which I do believe she's a murderer. I think she well knew what she did. I'm saying she needs to be incarcerated for life without the possibility of parole, because I believe she knew, she well knew what she did. I think she calculated it. She knew how long he'd be gone. I, for one, I don't know, I'll look at chat if anybody else agrees with me, but I believe that suicide attempt, I can't say that, or YouTube doesn't like it. None, by the way, for anybody who thinks that, for instance, on all my Lindsay Clancy's, I don't make any money off of these. They're X'd out because I just tell it like I see it. And I can't sugarcoat, and I can't, I guess, keep it down enough. I mean, thank goodness they, you know, I don't say anything too bad, I guess, but just advertiser bad. So I appreciate Karen Cardwell, the $9.99. I really do. But my point is on this is she did all of things, these things. She needs punished. I believe she well knew, because guess what? She's really good at committing murder, but not to herself. She's not good at that at all. The wrong way on the wrist. Remember that? Superficial cuts. Remember that? Superficial cuts up here. I have been looking for scars. Has anybody been able to see a scar on her hands or her neck? Anybody? I haven't been able to. It doesn't mean that I have perfect eyes. Maybe I just missed it, but I don't see any scarring. Superficial. She did it in front of the mirror, the evidence would show. Two-story window. I showed you a picture of my two-story window. I literally could stand underneath my two-story window and take my long broom, the one I use when, you know, like to clean out the garage, and I could touch my two-story window. 20 feet max. It's not that high. She was an acrobat. People, you know, I thought it was funny. I was on Hidden Killers, and you know, I absolutely love the gang over there, Robin and Tony and Todd. They're great. But they totally disagree with me. But I'll tell you what, they disagreed with me on Lori Vallow. They disagreed with me on David D4VD, David Burke, that killed Celeste Rivas. They disagreed with me. If you look at those episodes, they thought there's no way David could do that. No way a guy could do that. No way. And it was interesting how we really came to terms after the show was over, all four of us, because we really profoundly have a lot of respect for one another. And it's very interesting that you can, everybody look at the same trial and see something so profoundly different, especially I think in our industry. And I'll tell you what, people who don't see the worst of the worst it's hard for them to see what I see in those eyes and what I see in the actions of those texts and those phone calls, in the deliberate moves she made, in the fact that somehow hearing Cora and Dawson scream and fight for their lives didn't snap her out of it. But boy, that little superficial cut, ouch. That sure did snap her out of it. I mean, if she was really committed to harm herself. Why'd she stop? I thought she was in the middle of psychosis. She wasn't in the middle of psychosis. She Googled, where's the carotid? You might say, well, Jen, she's a nurse. She should know. I'm a tactical medic, and I know the carotid's right here, but I could not tell you with definity. After here, from here to here, I could not tell you exactly how that goes down the neck to the body, exactly where. So yeah, I know where it is. I know where to find it. But after it tails off, I don't know exactly. And if you look, it's hard to know exactly. And she didn't. So she Googled it. And she stood in front of that mirror. And she made sure her nicks did not cut that. And then what did she do? Goes to that window. You guys can do it. Go stand outside your window. I'm a midget, so I have to use an extra tall broom. I can just touch it right up there. I still think she lowered herself out. I can't explain the blood any other way on the sill. And because I guess they didn't do the exact proper analysis, they backed away from it. I just can't explain it. I can't explain her landing on her back. I can't explain that if she did a head first dive to the hard ground, that she doesn't have a scratch on her head. As far as the Jefferson fracture, you can get a Jefferson fracture from landing with that kind of force on your C1 vertebrae, period. You guys can look it up. So I don't think she's going to be convicted. I've said this from the beginning. It's going to be a hung jury. I've said this from the beginning. Because I can tell by what I see in social media and what I see happening out on that area where this is happening. I can just see that there's going to be at least one. At least one or two holdouts. Maybe the ladies in pink, because that is so wrong. So wrong for anyone to show up in pink. We saw it before in the Karen Reed trial. Same thing. They shouldn't even know about the pink. I don't know where we're at a country. I understand empathy. I understand ladies who have themselves struggled with their issues with raising their children. Look at how much child abuse there is, everyone. Child abuse and neglect. And it spans from the poor to the rich, everyone. And now this seems to just back it up. Well, it's not the mom's fault. She's feeling down and depressed, and she's taking too many meds that she had prescribed to her. So of course she can hit her kids. She can strangle her kids. It's all good. It's all good. No problems. We have gone so far backwards with this trial, with who we are as women in our society, as if we're controlled by our hormones and we have no mind and we can't do anything about it except self-medicate, take as many of those pills, as the feel-good pills, as you can. No, you put yourself, you tell your parents and you tell your husband, I'm going to have to do inpatient, and you pay. And you get yourself right. But it's all too late now for Dawson. It's all too late for Callan. It's all too late for Cora. making an excuse that if you feel bad, you feel blue, you feel depressed, that it's okay to beat your kids, to kill your kids, to neglect your kids, it's not. And don't have children unless you are 1,000% prepared, 1,000% prepared to give away yourself. But also know, if you have that love that just burns inside of you, that it is a labor of love, and you get 20, 100 times back what you give with these little ones. You do. And I can't believe it's happening. I think everybody's entrenched. My guess is, okay, here's my guess. Well, first of all, let's go to what the judge said today. And I'm sorry if I didn't make it clear again. They are out for the day. It's 3:30 that they went. They were already went to the judge with a note and said, we're deadlocked. And the judge said this. Let me get this up. Yeah. Here we go.
And the question is, after many hours of deliberation, we are unable to come to a unanimous decision. I brought you back out because I know that this was a long trial. All right. I know there were over 80 witnesses. There were over 300 exhibits. But because of that, I'm going to ask you to go back out, keeping in mind all of the instructions that I gave you.
Look at that curly hair. I just got to stop this. Did anybody watch the Andrea Yates trials? Andrea Yates, who I truly believe and was diagnosed by professionals as being psychotic and schizophrenic and all this. She was a hot mess. Like, her hair's all over the place, no makeup. She's got these greasy bangs. Hey, she could care less what she looks like. They made her, you know, put on a dress once with flowers. She always looked horrible because she could care less. This woman cares what you see. She's got her cute little headband in. She's got her eye makeup on. She's got her hair perfectly curled. You guys, and I know what people are going to say. Oh, Jen, she's being treated now. Yeah, she was being treated then. This face you see, in my opinion, is no different than the face that killed these kids. No difference. No difference. You gotta watch the effect of Lindsay Clancy compared to Andrea Yates. It's really stunning to see the affect. They're different. I've got this other great tape too, where, man, when she doesn't get her way, Lindsay Clancy, she just, like, if looks could kill, that's who Lindsay Clancy is, in my opinion. Here we go.
No deliberations at this time. All right. And so with that, I'm going to ask you to go back out. Like I said, keep in mind the instructions I gave you, reviewing the evidence, and I'd ask you to resume your deliberations at this time. Okay. Thank you.
I tell you, one of the sickest things I read was when her attorney, and I have nothing against Mr. Reddington. I think he's very good at what he does. You know, defense attorneys, just generally speaking, it was something I couldn't do. I think I shared with many of you some time ago. One of my first internships was with a defense attorney. And I'll never forget, we went and saw a murderer, right? We're interviewing him. And never ask it, just going over all the details of everything that happened. And I left there and I'm in the car, we're driving, and I said, sir, he's so guilty. How can we sit here and represent him? Well, Jenny, and I was called Jenny back then, most people called me Jenny, which I still love that name. Jenny is fine. Jenny, I had to shorten it to Jen, by the way, when I became Coffin Daffer, because it won't fit on the page. So I had to go with Jen from Jenny. Nevertheless, he said, we are not here because he's guilty or innocent. We are here to protect his rights. He was exactly right. Exactly right. And so I respect defense attorneys because they respect the rights, not respect, sorry. Well, they do respect the rights of others and they defend the rights of others. But there is no way in heck that I could ever, ever represent someone guilty. No way. That's just me. I couldn't do it. I'm thankful for people like Reddington who can. Alan Jackson. All these defense attorneys that can get up there and represent those who are guilty. Good for them. We need these people. But when he said, and this was what I was coming back to, when he said, and I'm paraphrasing a little, I think the two words he said when they said, how is Lindsay holding up? And he said, she's scared. That's for sure one word. Scared and I think concerned or something like that. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, scared and concerned? What about these kids? When she took them downstairs, and you know that those kids knew. You know, Cora. I was looking back at my daughter's pictures when she was five, and I remember how smart she was. Like how she would just joke around. Gosh, I should go get this little collage. We're cleaning out room to room right now because I just want to get every room clean and clear and clear of clutter. And so we were cleaning out all these rooms and I ran across this little collage. I don't even know how it got put in this chest of drawers, but it did. I'm just going to go get it. I just have to get it. I think she was about three. Oh, let me make myself bigger. I bring this up because are equating them to, of all things, liquor bottles. Like they don't move. They're inanimate objects. Oh, it was a cylindrical, you know what? No. We have so dehumanized Cora, Dawson, and Callan down to the point of being liquor bottles. And I don't care if they were trying to show that they don't know anything, not one thing. You know, they might know about law and somebody said Canada. I don't know. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm trying to say they don't know the first thing about the amount of force it takes to strangle the life out of somebody. They have no idea. I even put a quote up of Richard Speck, who was a horrible murderer, and how he said, man, this is nothing like the movies. This is brutal. Like it's exhausting. Read what BTK says. Read what these killers say. Interview these killers face to face. Go to self-defense classes. Fight. See how hard it is. But anyway, I shouldn't put up my pictures of her, but I just want to show you this. There. She's so smart, like at that age. And I know Cora was the same way. Totally smart and full of energy and knew. She absolutely knew when Dawson was down there screaming and she could hear it and didn't come back up. And then Mama coming back up those stairs for her. And by the way, you know, people talk about leakage and, oh, you know, she was such a great mom. We don't know what happened behind closed doors, people. We don't know. You know, oh, by all accounts, look at the accounts we're listening to. People who want to get money. That's the accounts we're listening to. Right? People who are all into the money and all into protecting her reputation. That's who are the accounts of what a good mother she was. The nanny. Yeah, the nanny. She doesn't have anything to prove, but she wasn't around. Remember, nannies are there when you're not there. Nannies are there when they're saying goodbye. Have a great day. I can only imagine the terror on Cora, particularly Cora, because she was five and knew so much. When Mama came up those stairs without Dawson after taking Dawson and all the screaming she had to her. He told him to go back and deliberate. We just listened to that. I don't think there's any way we're getting a verdict. I think that, you know, that seemed very obvious very early on. It's unfortunate, and I don't know what they'll do. It's not that I want her burned at the stake for all of those people who think that. She needs locked up for the rest of her life under Massachusetts law, where she will receive amazing, by the way, mental health care in prison. The reason I don't want her in a mental health care facility is because the moment that two or three or four doctors get together and say, she's okay, she's beat it, it was just PPP. All the hormones are back to normal now. She's good to go. Let her out. That's not right. It's not right for two reasons. It's not right because of what she did to Cora, what she did to Callan, and what she did to Dawson. It's not right. She deserves to pay for taking their lives. And she certainly doesn't deserve to come out to millions of dollars. I mean, this case started out so bad, but now it's just greasy with all this money at the expense of their kids. I hope justice is served. I fear it will not be. Thank you all for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow morning, let's see, where are we at tomorrow morning? It is Wednesday. We have a special agent with the FBI that's going to be joining us. He has a book out of all things about the mafia, but we were also, I'm planning on asking him about this case. So I look forward to speaking with him and introducing you all to him. As far as what else we have planned, that's Wednesday. I might also have Philip Dubé on tomorrow about the case. So look for that. Look for possibly a doubleheader tomorrow, maybe 9 and 10. On Thursday, I can't remember. I think we have a morning show again at 10 o'clock. In fact, we do 10 o'clock, so we'll have the morning show on Thursday as well. On Friday, that show is going to be at night for sure. I just do not know the exact time. I'm trying to get better at having much better consistency for everybody. But I don't know for sure. But tomorrow and the next day, 10 o'clock, Sunday night, you hopefully will join us because I'm so excited about this. And that is for Steve Pagano. He is absolutely one of the premier statement analysts. He will be on to talk about the JonBenet Ramsey 911 tape and talk about another little girl that's gotten no justice after all these years. That's her, JonBenet. So we are doing a weekly series on her every single week, at least once, if not twice a week. We will have shows on JonBenet. And then, of course, Nancy Guthrie, we will keep focus on Nancy Guthrie. It's tough now because, of course, now I've been talking to a lot more of my agent friends that remain in the Bureau. And let's just say I pray that Nancy Guthrie, that case is solved. But I think it truly will take somebody coming in and doing the right thing. By the way, Furious, which you see, and Karen, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. You got to watch Furious. It's so great. The last season finale was Monday night, two nights ago. I have not watched the season finale yet. Plan to watch it late tonight. And it just got renewed, everyone. So there will be a season two. And reached out to Emmy about that. And it's really exciting. It was so fun to train her, to take her to the facility that I work out of, and to take her through some tough training, to be honest. So Furious, it's on Hulu. It's also on Amazon Prime. It's the series is only 8 episodes. It's super, super short. But I was very, very honored to be able to train her on being an FBI agent, to help with looking over the scripts and just giving advice about what the FBI would and wouldn't do in situations like that, and what they would say, what they wouldn't say, things that I was like, oh no, we can't do that. But of course, you know, the script writer in this case is so amazing. And then also being able to help out with one of the scenes. It's actually a scene from the first episode. So choreographing that scene and working with the stunt people on that, working with Emmy on that, it was really, really great. So anyway, watch Furious. That is a pretty real portrayal, I think, of most of the FBI agents and what they do and didn't do, how real they are, the struggles they have. So hope you can watch. All right, everyone. I appreciate each and every one of you. I want to particularly thank the members. It's $1.99 a month. Would love to see y'all become members. I thank you for all the generous contributions to the show and support. It means so very, very much. And let's just hope that in this trial and in the Lindsay Clancy trial, that the folks that are holding out for a guilty verdict, let's hope that they don't cave, that they stay strong in their convictions, because we know we got some pink shirts in there. Roxy, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. To me, the membership piece of this thing is what means the most to me. And of course, people who subscribe. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Always, y'all are the best. And again, to our mods, wow, great, great mods, the best in the business. So thank you, everyone. Thanks for your commitment to the channel. And until next time, which will be tomorrow at 10, may justice be served for Cora, for Dawson, and for Callan.